This is Bruce Collins once again coming to you as your host for the Bible Studies program. I want to greet you and welcome you to our lesson today, and I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. Now again, if you would like to contact me either with prayer requests or comments on the program, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and the program can be re-listened to there, and you'll find that that website has quite a little other information that you might find helpful. Particularly, there's a prophetic chart on that website that you might want to look at. Now, you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been looking at important people in the Bible over the last several months, and we've come to the most important person of the Bible, which is the Lord Jesus. And we've looked at him with regard to his titles and with regard to some of the Old Testament symbolism that's used with regard to the Lord. But one thing we find out is that the Lord Jesus is really the theme of our Bible. In the Old Testament, we find out that he's prophesied that he's going to come. So in the Old Testament, he's coming, and in the New Testament, he came, and he's coming again. And as we look at the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, one of the ways in which he is presented to us is as the angel of the Lord. And while the angel of the Lord might not always be a pre-incarnate vision of the Lord Jesus or pre-incarnate manifestation of the Lord Jesus, often it is. And I want to look at some of those. Last time we looked at the way the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar, who was Abraham's handmaiden. Actually, it was his wife's handmaiden, her slave. And Abraham had been told that he was going to produce a child that would be a special child, and that his lineage and his future, the future of the nation of Israel, would be blessed because of that child. He was a unique child. But after the promise was made that Abraham was going to have that child, and it was supposed to be through Sarah, it didn't seem as though the promise was coming true. They were getting older, and it seems as though they put their own spin on the promise of the Lord, and Abraham was convinced by his wife Sarah to have a child by Hagar, her slave girl, and that child would, of course, been really considered to be Abraham's child. But that was not the child that the Lord had in view, and so they had taken things in their own hands. And after Hagar becomes pregnant, we noticed last time that Sarah becomes jealous and sends her out into the wilderness. But the Lord has his eye on her, and she is able to meet one who is called the angel of the Lord. And I think of that, a slave girl meeting the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. What a blessing that must have been. He had an interest in her, just as the Lord has an interest in each one of us today. But nevertheless, the Lord did take an interest in Hagar, and she produced a man by the name of Ishmael. And because of Abraham's lack of faith, there has been contention between the descendants of Ishmael, the offspring of Hagar, and the descendants of Isaac, the offspring of the promised son, down through the years. Most of the descendants of Ishmael have become a part of the Muslim community, and most of the descendants of the descendants of Isaac have become a part of the Jewish community. And it is the Jews that God has used as an object lesson to show us how his promises do come true. The Jews were not chosen because they were so good. They were not chosen because of something that they had done to please God. As a matter of fact, they were a rebellious people, but God has taken the Jews to show as an object lesson that obedience and worshiping the Lord and the Lord only blesses, and that when you turn away from the Lord and worship the way in which men want to worship, which becomes idolatry, then there is anger on the part of the Lord. And so the children of Israel have been an object lesson of how the Lord deals with people who turn away from him. And we know that one day the Jewish people are going to be the nation around whom the Lord builds the millennial kingdom, and that's in a coming day after the Lord returns for the church, the spiritual people, today. And then there's a tribulation period where his wrath is meted out on all those who have rejected his son. And then there's the establishment of a heaven on earth, the millennial kingdom. And the Jews have been the centerpiece of those prophecies. But as we look at this, then we know that Hagar was not to be the mother of the promised seed, yet the Lord had an interest in her. And I just want you to remember that today. If you feel like you've been rejected or alone or been set aside, I believe that in particular you can take comfort. The Lord appears to Abraham and tests him in Genesis chapter 22. And this testing shows us that Abraham's faith in God was real. He might have had his weaknesses, but his faith in God was real. And when we are tested or tempted, it's not always to see if we'll fail. It's sometimes to show others that we are real. And I think the reason the Lord was tempted in the wilderness wasn't to prove that he might sin, it was to prove that he couldn't sin. And when we look at Abraham in much the same way, even though he was just a man and had already had failure in his life, his faith was real, and it's seen, that the reality of his faith is seen in this passage. And so when we come to Genesis 22, it's one of the first examples we have of true worship in the Bible. Sometimes we say we worship the Lord, and I wonder just exactly what that means to some people. What does worship mean? Well, in this case, it meant that Abraham was going to do what God asked him to do, even though it seemed to run counter to what he had been promised. And so we will read from Genesis 22, verse 1, where it says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son," it's thy unique son, "Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And so Abraham is asked to do something that none of us would want to be asked to do. And this is an example of what worship then really looks like, because if you come down to Genesis 22 and verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And so there was a sense in which Abraham, we find out from the New Testament, thought that he was going to offer Isaac on an altar as a burnt offering, and God had seemingly never asked for the offering of human sacrifice, excepting when it came to his own son. And so when we look at this this offering, God apparently Abraham really did think he was going to be offering his son, but in the New Testament it says that he counted God able, he thought God was able to raise him from the dead. And so they were going to come again to these people that were traveling with them and bearing some of the burden, the wood and so forth that he needed for the offering. And so when we come to verses 7 and 8, "Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And so I think we not only see Abraham's faith here, but in a sense we see Isaac's faith, because Isaac knew that they didn't have a lamb with them. But Abraham said, my God will provide himself a lamb. And I'm so thankful that that's exactly what we can believe today. God has provided himself a lamb for a burnt offering. In Isaac's case, as we read down through the story, we find out that Isaac was spared, but in the Lord's case, he was not spared. He died on the cross for us, and God was providing himself a lamb for a burnt offering, a lamb that would satisfy him with regard to the punishment that we deserve because of our sins. So they went both of them together. And when Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. And that's true worship. It's not just fear and trembling. It's reverence for God, but it involves both. I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The promised son had been delivered, because now there was a ram that had been caught in the thicket, and they were going to offer the ram in place of Isaac. So Isaac was spared through a substitute. We are spared through a substitute as well, but notice Abraham's faith had been tested. And the first time the Lord appears, talks to Abraham in this passage, he calls him Abraham. But now he says, Abraham, Abraham. And I think that as we look at that, I've studied the Hebrew and Greek places where the words, where the names are repeated, and I'm told that that's a way of endearing, using the name in an endearing way as a close friend. And Abraham was the friend of God. Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And so Abraham passed the test. His faith was like gold. It was pure. It was beautiful. And it shined pure gold. And so Abraham had done what the Lord asked him to do, and Isaac has now been spared, and we now see a beautiful picture of what true worship is all about. We know that Job was tested, but he wasn't tested because he was a sinner. He was tested because he was righteous and he loved God, and even Satan wanted to test him because he thought he worshiped God because of what God was doing for him. But Job worshiped God because of who God was. And Abraham apparently did the same thing. We could go through the whole history of Abraham and see how he had been willing to leave pagans and family behind in order to come into the promised land. And now he was worshiping God in this way. And so when we look at Abraham, we can see that he too saw the angel of the Lord, heard the angel of the Lord, and it was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus which was blessing him here at this time. And it's the Lord that is our blessing. We don't see the pre-incarnate Lord. We see the Lord himself through Scripture. And of course, while God provided a ram for Isaac, God has provided the Lord for us to take our place. And we too can hear the voice of this one who was manifested to Abraham when we read his word and believe his promises. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. And those who have listened today, we thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen.